morning! This is Brian Brushwood, host of Scam School, Cord Killers, and Hacking the System on Nat Geo, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
August 10th, 2021. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information, like listening to last week's show where I forgot to say that, Chip.
You did.
I did. How about that? Surprise! Too Much Scrolling is back, and I have to get back into how all of this stuff works.
Well, this week has been a sprint for me, so coffee has helped me, Steve.
So this is energized Chip.
Well, this is not quite energized Chip, but Chip's going to try to be energized, and Steve's going to try to remember like the format of the show. So we each have our growth opportunities.
Hopefully we'll get to thoughtful Chip, where Chip whispers.
Oh, the whispering.
The NPR Chip.
We did our best.
This is very emotional.
Exactly. Which we should mention that if you do want to hear me gushing over Steve Fodor in our podcast, you can listen to Earfluence, their podcast, because they interviewed me and I got to talk a little bit about how what a joy it was to work with you and work for 8 years.
Wow.
So there we go. Yeah, we got to get those props in there for Steve.
Nice.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Did you go to the movie theater this week, Chip?
I did not go to the movie theater. I have started a series, which I will talk about once I complete it.
Okay.
And I also look forward to seeing some movies, but this week has been a sprint for me, Steve.
Yeah. I've started school. I've been in school setting stuff up all week, and I didn't make it to the movie theater either. So remember last week when I promised to watch a movie? I did not go to see Jungle Cruise this week.
Well, a lot of people didn't, Steve. A lot of people didn't. I mean,
a majority of people have not seen this movie.
Although it's streaming on Disney Plus, mm-hmm, and at the theater, but it seems like there may be some challenges to it. Let's just say that when it's available streaming and you don't have to pay $29.99, mm-hmm, maybe it'll be worthwhile to watch.
So what I did this week, my wife and I sat down to watch a movie. We thought we would watch Jungle Cruise, but we decided as a family that $29.99 was not the right price point for us for this movie, because mm-hmm, I don't think it's a good movie based on the reviews. So what we did instead was go through Disney Plus and find some of the other Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies that we haven't seen. And I really like this guy. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a character from wrestling who has gone on to be this American character that I really admire.
Well, and you know, that is the growth, isn't it? Because he was a college football player, mm-hmm, that became a wrestler, that took that and then moved to Hollywood, and he is that action star that is also the comedic star. Mm-hmm. So is he like maybe a Schwarzenegger of this generation?
I'm thinking Bruce Willis, because Schwarzenegger didn't do a lot of comedy, and the comedy that he did...
He did Kindergarten Cop, Steve.
Yeah, all right. There are a few comedies in his repertoire, but...
Ice to See You.
That was not a comedy. That was not a comedy. That was...
Nipple Batman was a comedy, Steve.
A very serious comic book movie. Most of Schwarzenegger's comedy is at his expense.
By the way, Schumacher, who did that, did you read any comic books? No.
No.
We're going to make a multicolored Batman movie, and it'll be awful.
It was awful. That was a terrible film. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I think, is more like Bruce Willis as an action star and comedian. He can pull off the comedy and the action stuff.
I will agree. Mm-hmm. I will agree. That's 3 points for Steve.
So what we did, instead of watching Jungle Cruise, we watched a series of Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies that we haven't seen before. The first one was called The Game Plan. This was released in 2007.
I watched that with my daughters.
This was not a bad movie. This is a good American story. Kid has a football career, and then in the story here, becomes the NFL quarterback, the star of the league, and then suffers an injury and has to figure out how he's going to get through this. There's also an adorable 8-year-old daughter in the scene in the game plan.
Well, and she's not 8 years old anymore. This movie was released in 2007.
Right.
She is an adult now.
And she's still a gorgeous woman at this age, and her career has not gone nearly as skyrockety as The Rock.
Well, from my memory of this, and I watched this with my children probably back in 2007, mm-hmm. This was a good family film.
Yes. The message of don't be a jerk. Don't be so stuck on yourself. Don't be so navel-gazing that you don't notice everybody else is a great message. And it's presented in a way that is not preachy, but it works as a story.
I should probably write that down. That's important. I think that's important. I'll put it in mashed potatoes. That is important. This is important. For our listeners who've watched Close Encounters recently, they'll get that reference, Steve.
That was a Close Encounter? I thought that was a UHF reference, because Weird Al's movie UHF makes a Close Encounters reference where he's playing with the mashed potatoes and he says this is important.
You think Dad's a little off right now? I'm actually playing from memory, the Close Encounters scene where Richard Dreyfuss says, Dad's a little off right now. as he plays with his mashed potatoes, making the Devil's Tower.
Okay, the extended scene or the theatrical scene? Because the extended scene explains how he got all the stuff into the house. There's an extended scene of Close Encounters where Richard Dreyfuss' character is throwing bushes and dirt in the window of the house. And it's really emblematic of this man is losing his mind at this point.
Well, the aliens are coming, Steve, and they're asking him to come. They got some music to play for him.
That's right. The second movie that I watched is very similar to that. It is The Race to Witch Mountain.
Which is interesting, because the prequel to that, was it a prequel? Is this a sequel to that original?
This is a reboot of the original.
Okay.
This is the same story told again in modern times. The original, Escape to Witch Mountain, was released in 1975, mm-hmm. and was a big influence on my childhood.
Well, my children watched that when they were young, which was, I mean, let's just say that was probably, we had to have seen it at least 10 years or more. And, you know, this movie was released in 1975, mm-hmm. so it was, you know, an old movie, a classic film,
yeah.
when we watched it, but I don't remember other than maybe it was okay, I don't remember.
It is one of those iconic movies in my repertoire. Okay. As a young person, I enjoyed the adventure of these two young kids finding Eddie Albert, who was not in Green Acres, and, well, he was, but this was post-Green Acres, sure. and saying, hey, you need to take us to this mountain. And he says, which mountain? And they say, yes.
Well, there you go. That is a joke right there. Yes. Little Gabor there, and yes, and a bad joke.
No, there's no Gabors in this.
So this is the remake, and this has The Rock in it.
Yeah.
And was it good?
This is not a good movie. I do not recommend The Race to Witch Mountain. We put this one on. We watched it. We kind of went on to do other things because this was a boring adventure. Maybe it's because we're older. Maybe it's because this is made for kids. Just like that 1975 adventure, these kids are in danger. And as a kid, I'm feeling this suspense of what's going to happen. As an adult, I shrugged at this movie. The only thing that I enjoyed about it is the nostalgia of it,
mm-hmm.
because both of the kids from the 1975 are in this movie as adults, and they do the worst mugging cameo. They're like standing next to each other and going, huh, that's interesting. And it's like, okay, I got you, Disney. Thanks.
All right, so let's go to a better movie. Steve, yes. give us a movie that we can definitely watch and we will enjoy.
Our third movie on the Rock of the Week history is Jumanji: The Next Level. This is the sequel to Jumanji: Welcome to the Jungle, where the kids fall into the video game and they have to play through the video game that was featuring The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black and Karen Gillan
as characters. So you are they're the avatars for your real life person.
And I like how you once again put that into second person. This is once again that adventure that we, the audience, are feeling like we are on the adventure with these characters. And they do that so well in both Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and the sequel, The Next Level. But in The Next Level, the stand-ins for the audience are Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. So we get a very different performance out of Kevin Hart doing his Danny Glover impression and The Rock doing his Danny DeVito impression. It is a fun adventure. It suffers a little bit from sequelitis because it's basically the same movie as before.
Sure.
But that twist in the characterizations makes this really work well.
Are they going to make a third one?
I suspect that they made a lot of money on the first two. It was a surprise. If you remember, we reviewed Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle when it first came out. It was a surprise hit. I expected nothing out of it, and I got a fun adventure. I think they would be remiss to not make a third one. I think a third movie would be just as good as the first two, if not better.
Is there any other media that has The Rock in it, Steve?
I hope that everybody is taking a look at Young Rock. This is the sitcom on NBC that is taking a look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson's real history, his youth. And it's done in such a wonderful way. The envelope story is that this is filmed in the future, a future where The Rock is running for president, and as a result of his campaign for president, he's being interviewed by Randall Park, who plays himself, which is weird, and Randall Park is asking him questions about his youth, as you might do with a presidential candidate. And we get these flashbacks, but there's three different time periods: 1982, 1987, and 1990. And the character of Dwayne Johnson is played by three different young actors in the three situations.
So this is kind of made up. And kind of, this is kind of out there, kind of like Between Two Ferns.
That part is sort of like that, sort of. But all of the stories are at least plausible to reality. Dwayne The Rock Johnson really did grow up in Hawaii. His mother really did basically raise him because his father really was out being a wrestler. Rocky Johnson really was a wrestler. And the stories from the 80s are...
I didn't realize he was a legacy wrestler.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the stories are all about all the interactions that he had with the up-and-coming wrestling superstars. Andre the Giant is portrayed as this wonderful, not uncle, but like an uncle to The Rock. And who else is in there? There's all of the characters that we knew from the 80s and 90s in the wrestling circuit.
Well, this reminds me a little bit of where we were at the event where there was the interview with Mr. T's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to tell all the wrestling stories of behind the scenes about her father and, well, Hulk Hogan and all the Roddy Piper and stuff like that. And how crazy it was.
Kind of like when I had a conversation with Jared Payton, who told all of the Walter Payton behind-the-scenes stories and the Michael Jordan behind-the-scenes stories and all of the things. That's what this show is. It's all of that fun, and I think most of it is real history.
It's kind of true-ish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's probably some truth there, and they probably kind of hyped it up a little
bit. It's embellished. It's embellished quite a bit because it's a sitcom. I mean, you have these characters. It's kind of like the Goldbergs. Mm-hmm. The Adam Goldberg made videos in the 80s. Here are the actual history, the videos, but then we alter it for the sitcom situation.
And I just said yes, because I think it's a television program, yeah, which means I haven't watched it. So this you can watch on NBC.
Yeah, this is an NBC show. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I enjoy who he is as an American, as a symbol of success. Mm-hmm. As a success, he's able to explain, and he says it in lots of interviews, I struggled. I wanted to be a football player. I was not able to be a football player because of injury, so I transitioned into wrestling because my father had a big influence on me by knowing all these characters and seeing the business of it, and now transitioning into being in the acting world.
And so I learned a little bit about his diet. I think he just eats cod. That's all he eats.
All he eats is cod.
And it gets to the point where I think it's just raw cod. He just like the frozen cod that you get in the freezer section. I just think he eats that. That's so if you want to be like The Rock, just eat lots of cod.
And exercise a lot. He puts a lot of work into it.
Steve, we've got a movie that Deadpool has said that he thought it was released like a year or so ago. And so what does that mean?
The pandemic has pushed back everything.
Oh.
And one of the things it pushed back is the release of this movie that's coming out this week, finally. This one is called Free Guy, and it features Ryan Reynolds, the actor who plays Deadpool.
Sure. And the guy from Deadpool says that he looks familiar. I don't know why.
Don't you love all the cross-promotion that they're able to do with Deadpool? It's pretty brilliant. And sneaking him into the MCU, did you see that? Where he's now officially a part of the MCU?
He is. But, you know, he's also part of a video game, it looks like.
This movie this week, Free Guy, Ryan Reynolds is, yes, you're right, a part of a video game. He's a bank teller that discovers that he's actually just a non-player character, an NPC, in one of those brutal open-world video games. You know, those games that the kids play.
This sounds a lot like the Lego movie, where he's like the super happy guy.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he gets thrown into this reality. And he's still a super happy guy. He's got to remember that he's a super happy guy.
And what a great actor to have in place for this. Ryan Reynolds seems to be perfect for this role.
And this looks like a joyful film. Like, you know, he's falling off stuff and he lives. And he goes, I survived. And immediately gets hit by a car.
Right.
And of course, he's being chased around by like a machine gun toting bunny. So it just seems
this. I've been looking forward to this movie for over a year. This movie has been on the shelf for a year. I look forward to this movie. I will find a way to watch this movie.
But you know what this reminds me of, Steve? It reminds me of the Elon Musk story, the interview where he says, are we just part of the Matrix?
So it reminds you of your real life.
It does. That's right.
The idea that maybe, just maybe, you and I are in a simulation right now. And if we were, we would not know it.
We're in a simulation talking about a simulation. It's just, I mean, boggles the mind.
That's
Steve.
Some Matrix stuff. That's some Matrix stuff right there.
There was a movie from earlier this year that we actually reviewed. And it was called A Glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah, this is one of the movies that came out in 2021. We haven't actually talked about it yet. We've talked about it a little bit on Sandwiches at Irregular Hours, our book club that we ran for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, this is a documentary.
Yes, and many of the interviewees are from Illinois, interestingly enough.
Interesting. The story of this documentary is asking the question, are we living in a simulation? Is this reality, is this thing that we call the universe, is the science that we know accurate?
Steve, if we're going to have this conversation, can we at least turn on the lava lamps?
I suspected that you were going to say something like that, Chip. Seems like a theme of yours. The idea is plausible. If we assume computers have gotten better over the last 40 years, which they have, we have to extrapolate that they will continue to get better, not at some point get worse.
So why am I not like built like The Rock then? I should be really thin and really strong. I mean, that could just be a computer. That could be my avatar.
That's your There's your philosophy question of the day. There's your religion. If you believe strong enough, then you can be the Rock.
You can be anything you want to be, Steve. School is going to start in a few weeks for many people. And that's the message we want to give, right?
Yeah, not the, hey, this might all be a simulation and you can fall off of stuff and you'll be fine. Because that's not true.
What is that? What was the Amazon series? Did they, that
Upload.
Upload. That was where they talked a little bit about the guy's getting ready to die and he goes into the upload. They uploaded him to a computer simulation.
His consciousness, theoretically, could be scanned and placed into a powerful enough computer. And we are very, very close to that singularity. That's what it's called. We've talked about this. We've talked about the singularity is near. The idea of uploading your consciousness.
So Free Guy is definitely going to be at the theater. This looks like a really good film. I look forward to seeing this.
Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. And boy, Chip, we read some great books during our year of book club sandwiches at regular hours. And one of the topics that we talked about with three or four different titles was the idea of the climate crisis.
And climate change is, or however they want to describe it at this time. We had some nonfiction where we kind of explored some ideas around it, and then we had some fiction where we also talked a little bit about this. But where it eventually ended up was Bill Gates wrote a book, or released a book, earlier this year, where he basically took whatever the latest science was at the time, talked a little bit about where we're standing, where we need to be thinking about, you know, how to solve the climate change issues and what our time frame is for that. And then eventually some policy suggestions on how to get there. Ultimately, with Bill Gates' book, 2050 is where we really need to be, where on the grand scheme, we move from, say, your incandescent light bulbs to your LED, which is your tweener stage, to something that just glows. Mm-hmm. So this idea of we need to find ways of using energy that are just not using energy because we can't continue to throw the carbons into the atmosphere.
Right. Carbon neutral by 2050 was the big overriding idea of Bill Gates's book.
And because of that, it's incredibly ambitious. Not just a little bit ambitious. And there's every challenge you can imagine through there. And we should understand, Bill Gates is a very thoughtful person. So this is a book that we're going to discuss that is going to challenge a little bit of that.
Yeah, you read Unsettled, What Climate Science Tells Us and What It Doesn't and Why It Matters. This is published this year, this just April of this year, and it's written by Dr. Stephen Koonin.
So this was released after the Bill Gates book. Mm-hmm. So Bill Gates' book was a little bit earlier, and this one was based on Dr. Koonin had written an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, and he basically questioned what the data was really saying. Hmm. He is an expert as any expert could be in this field, and he says climate change is the ultimate multidisciplinary study.
Okay.
You cannot grasp all of what's going on, but where his expertise is how to read data. And he is questioning how we're reading this data, and potentially we're always going to the outlier. And that why that's important is because if we're always going to the most extreme situations, that has an impact on how we create policies. That has an impact on how we view our time on Earth. And we can't do everything. Things have costs involved to them. And if we're always aiming towards something that is going to be an outlier, potentially could be an outlier, then we're sacrificing our time on Earth. He's not challenging whether humans are having an impact on the climate. What he's suggesting is that how we're reading this data, based on what the real papers that are being written on this, and they're pulling, extrapolating what this is, how this is impacting our world, we're continuing going to more outliers.
Okay.
And we need to be more skeptical of this. And by the time it's getting to the public, it's gone through, you know, the science papers have gone to the newspapers. The newspapers have gone to the general public. And it's just, these are things that we should be concerned with, but maybe not on the level, in the crisis level that is typically thrown to the public.
So being careful with the interpretation of the data is his viewpoint on this. Making sure that the understanding of the data maybe stays at the scientific level, and we're careful to not extrapolate it out to the public level of discourse.
You know, these papers are available to anybody who wants to read them. But the problem is that by the time we're reading them, we're already getting policy situations on it, or we're already getting a group of people who are just saying that this is what we have to do.
Okay.
And it potentially, I mean, these are expensive changes to make in our lives.
Right.
There's a group of people out there that says, well, whatever the cost, but that's not true. It's not whatever the cost, because listen, living in a cave was terrible, mm-hmm. and having air conditioning is wonderful. And so, you know, what do we want? We want the world to be better, but we want to all survive. But what we need to do is we have to be prudent on our decisions. And any time we make huge swings on how we do things, it could impact especially poor people.
Especially.
In developing countries.
Correct.
All of a sudden, why can't they have air conditioning? And that type of, I mean, think about what it's done for particularly the South and the Southwest, where it's very, very warm. This book is an incredibly thoughtful book. I highly recommend it for any person who wants to think about the climate crisis. It may not change your mind, but certainly he's outlining why we need to be more skeptical of the data and how we're using that data. At the end, he actually does give some policy recommendations. But really, I mean, to get to that point, it really was a deconstruction of some of the science. I do think this is thoughtful, and I think that he is being as objective as a human can be objective. And his criticism is that scientists who should know better, scientists who know how to read data, should be calling this out more clearly. And even in peer-reviewed papers, it's slipping through.
Hmm.
And his concern is that people are so afraid, because it can be devastating to,
sure,
your career to challenge something. Like, we should be more skeptical of this.
Okay.
There you go. There's ultimately the rule of this, or the solution of this. And I do think this was a great follow-up to the Bill Gates book from earlier.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Is this another piece of the puzzle that our listeners should be thinking about these things and reading the Bill Gates book and maybe some of the fiction, the Kim Stanley Robinson book that Pam brought us in the book club, all of the different perspectives?
Well, it seems like it's in college right now. If you're at a local university, my daughter was a freshman last year, and they had to read a book on climate change. In, mm-hmm, fact, University of Connecticut, where Pam teaches, as a university, they read this. So this is becoming very important.
Mm-hmm.
And because the ramifications are so grand, you know, there's only one Earth. And if we destroy it, then, you know, it means that, you know, we don't exist. Well, I mean, until
unless we're a simulation.
You're right. Or, you know, the Cylons have forced us to go on some, you know, ships. And
I've heard they have a plan.
Well, they may. They may have a plan.
I don't think they have a plan.
You never know. You never know.
But we need a plan. And having a little bit of skepticism and making sure that we get the right plan is vital.
And this is a challenge with modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I really... there's a mathematics issue here.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, there is a difference between your models, which are just data and stupid. And then once you get your information, going to leadership and leadership making recommendations on that. And then, you know, using the models again to potentially tighten up what leadership has talked about. So you can see how there's always this give and take on this. Humans always can make choices on this. Mm-hmm. And our leaders need to, as you can imagine, you can't be an expert on every nuance out there. Mm-hmm. And anytime you can get in front of a person who is in a position who's got to vote on these type of things to present your ideas, mm-hmm. you have the potential to persuade them one way or another. Mm-hmm. Once again, this is not something that every person is an expert on. Mm-hmm. So it becomes very important to know that your data is reliable. It's thoughtful. It's saying what is being presented.
Ironically, it's about epistemology. It's about how we know what we know. So now we have gotten all three of our favorite words from Sandwiches at Irregular Hours into one conversation. You said leadership, I said perspective, and you were talking about epistemology, which was Pam's word. There it is.
Well, that's just how it works, Steve. We get brighter. So okay. I highly recommend this book, and I do think that more people should be reading this. So read the Bill Gates book, particularly, to find out where the current thoughts are mm-hmm. on climate change. Read this to become skeptical of some of the modeling and the data being used and Excellent. The solutions. So good stuff.
I like that very much. That is Unsettled, What Climate Science Tells Us and What It Doesn't and Why It Matters by Dr. Stephen Koonin.
Scroll with it.
To our scroll with it, back to science news for a little while. There's a new phase of matter that has been discovered, and we thought that it existed, and this company that you may have heard of called Alphabet has a smaller company inside of it called Google, and they've discovered.
I don't think anybody knows what Alphabet is.
I know. Alphabet is still not a company that people have heard of.
But they know what the Google is, Steve. Right.
Google has said that they have made this new mythical state of matter. It's called, and I can't believe I'm going to say this in a science article, it's called a time crystal. This is a Doctor Who plot.
It certainly could be. It certainly could be. It sounds like it's like part of the Marvel Universe, too, you know? You've got the time crystal.
Now what are you going to do with it?
Exactly.
You have to solve the others, get the other crystals.
I'm just waiting for, like, Kang to show up with the time crystal. And
spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, this time crystal is apparently a real thing. It is a true perpetual motion machine. It's an object that moves in a regular repeating cycle without burning any energy, evading the second law of thermodynamics.
So this is not me on the dance floor.
Right. You expend a lot of energy, and there's a lot of liquid that is created. A
lot of sweat coming through me. So, but this is exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for those things that give us energy, but do not use resources.
Right.
And, oh my goodness, this is exactly the type of things that climate change is looking for.
Aha. So the idea of this, it has been presented before, but Google claims they have found the time crystal. So
was Google searching for it?
Did they need to search? Did they go to Yahoo to search for it?
They used Bing. They found it through Bing.
Don't worry, everyone. We found it. I'm excited about this. This is interesting science, and you're right. It goes straight to the heart of the matter of the energy crisis, mm-hmm. or the climate crisis, which is energy. That's a thing.
Well, science is going to solve things, Steve.
Yep. While science is solving things, we are going back to the convention circuit. Talk to Whitney Newton about a convention that's coming to Rosemont this weekend.
In Rosemont, and it's going to be the anime event.
This is Anime Magic 2021 this weekend, August 13th through 15th at the Crown Plaza O'Hare.
Will there be furries there, Steve?
There will be people in costume for you, Chip. You're welcome. There will be calligraphy. Remember, this is the idea of this convention is bringing back the magic of conventions, not just doing the same boring stuff. Being real, finding the experts, the Japanese experts to do calligraphy and kimonos. Mm-hmm. That sounds like an exciting look into that culture, along with some of the other things like the car scene in Japan.
You can have a speed racer there, Steve.
Yes.
So anime typically is thought of as the animation, the Japanese animation type of film.
Mm-hmm.
Speed Racer would be our version of it. I guess Pokemon would be like our kids' generation and whatever the one is now. So, yes, there's a long history of anime, and there's a huge following for this.
Yes, and we are excited and look forward to meeting everybody at the Anime Magic in Rosemont this weekend.
Steve, if you were going to go to your local comic book store on Saturday, what would you find?
This is the week to do it. It is Free Comic Book Day this Saturday. Usually this is the first Saturday in May, but you know there was this thing, this pandemic, that pushed everything back, like the movie Free Guy.
Never heard of it.
It's called, I have a new company where we share videos. It's called COVID. I hope that I'm rolling it out at the right time.
Well, you're the Delta variant.
This Saturday, August 14th, go to your local comic book store. Support local small business. Free Comic Book Day has always been such a great event. I look forward to what it brings for this year.
Absolutely. And if you're in the Chicago area, Skokie, Illinois is a great place to go. Our good friend Art Baltazar, mm-hmm. I'm guessing, is going to be there. He is the entrepreneur we all want to be.
Yeah.
And he's the one who, I don't know, brings the childlike wonder of comics back to everyone.
Absolutely. Aw Yeah Comics in Skokie, Illinois. And they also have stores in Harrison, New York and Muncie, Indiana. So I would really highly suggest that the local comic book shop, go find your local Aw Yeah.
It's too bad we don't have an air horn. For all those students in the Chicago area that are in your school district, Steve.
Is it a tornado?
No. It's a warning that at some point they have to get to bed at a normal hour.
Okay. Good. Go to bed, kids. It's time for school. My school kids, go to bed. It's time for school on Thursday. We're starting school, and our friends in Elgin, they are starting school. The kids are coming in on Monday, so it's time.
So we should start feeding them coffee, like early in the morning now. Young
that's
children.
That's your solution? That's your awake Chip solution?
Well, caffeine. It's the magic. It's the magic that brings us awake, right?
It's worked for you. You are much more energized at the end of the show than you were at the beginning. I'll tell you that much.
Well, on the airplane back, I will be I will be asleep. Let's just make sure I'm clear.
All right. So for now, before you fall asleep and take your afternoon nap, Chip, do you think we have enough information to survive another week?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
I think we can. If you need more information, you can give us a call or text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasselblad.
We'll see you in the future. If this isn't just a simulation.